It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It is time once again for our weekly outdoor show. And we have an awesome guest with us today over at Lake Tawakoni. Guide Larry Thomas is going to be with us, and he'll be with us here in just a few minutes. But I want to mention to you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. And also by Brute Outdoors, home of the Brute Box Cooler. The website there is bruteoutdoors.com. The phone number is toll-free, 855-BRUTE-55. Now, I believe we have Mr. Larry Thomas standing by. I went fishing with Larry last Friday. We caught the daylights out of the catfish. The article that I write will be in the Greenville Herald Banner this Thursday with a picture of some of the nice catfish we caught and some really in-depth tips on how Larry fishes for blue catfish this time of year and how he catches a lot. Larry, thank you very much for being with us, buddy.
No problem, Luke.
We appreciate you being here, and I want to tell you, I had a great time fishing with you. I got some good information from my article for the newspapers, and I think, you know, we were drift fishing, Larry, using a Santee rig. Kind of describe how we caught them the day you and I fished, what kind of rig, baits and everything, and then there's a new pattern we'll talk about that you're doing right now that's even more productive. So kind of go over with us the deep water bite, how you drift fish.
All right. The deep water, basically, like you said, a Santee rig. What I do is I have at the very bottom of the line, I have a hook. About a foot up from that or so, you got your bobber. And then about anywhere from a foot to 3 foot, depends on your leader length, you want to have your weight. Now, your weight needs to be big enough to sink that water to the bottom. The bobber is not going to float on top, and you're not going to see it. All the bobber's there for is to keep the bait and that hook suspended up off the bottom, and therefore the hook doesn't get caught on things on the bottom and get you broke off.
Right. And you know, Larry, when you're using a Santee rig, and that's named after, that got popular down on Lake Santee Cooper back in, the 80s, and it became known as a Santee rig. And basically, you know, it like Larry says, folks, it's a floater attached between the hook and the weight, which keeps the bait up from the bottom. And, you know, Larry, I think those blue catfish, obviously they pick it up easy, but I bet you that bait being up off the bottom makes it easier for them to grab. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's not all down in that mud and rock and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's just easy pickings for them. It's about a foot, maybe 2 foot up off the bottom, just waiting to be eaten.
Waiting to be nabbed, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, we were drifting points the day that we fished, and we were fishing water, you know, 12 to 40, 50 foot deep. It varies, you know, but you were fishing the ends, drifting the ends of some long main lake points, and that's a pretty good pattern for when the fish are not up shallow, isn't it? I mean, it was sure working Friday.
Right. It just totally depends on the weather. Last year at this time, I wouldn't have been caught in anything less than 40 foot.
Mm-hmm.
But with this warm Texas weather we've been having, it warmed up, so I tried a little bit shallower, and it worked for us. So, I mean, the weather patterns have a whole lot to do with it.
It does. Now, I guess we'll stay with our deep water pattern, and we do need to let everyone know that now, actually, from when the weather and the water gets cold, beginning usually in late October, right on through March a lot of years, that's prime time, Larry, for catching the big blues. I mean, that's trophy. Right now is primo for catching big blues, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Like I tell my clients, the colder the weather, the bigger the fish.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, but to drift, when we're drifting, wind speed is something that you have to make allowances for. Now, there's a thing called a drift sock. I can remember back in the day when old-timers used to drift with Lone Star Commander boats out at Lake Levan, especially. They would use 2 5-gallon buckets.
Yes, I've had many people, you know, using 5-gallon buckets, and they work, and they're cheap.
It still works, doesn't it? But
yes,
you use a unit, a drift sock. And this drift sock is awesome because the hole, think of it as a parachute, and instead of gliding through the air, it slows your boat speed through the water, folks. The opening in it, the bigger the opening, Larry, it just stands to reason that the faster it'll let you drift, right?
You got two openings. You have your main opening, which is the diameter of the drift sock.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you have a 5-foot drift sock. Most openings on that are about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some more higher-end drift socks that let you... my drift sock, for instance, is a 10-foot. Now, my main opening is 6 inches, mm-hmm. but I can open it up to 2 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So if the wind's less, I can open it up, and then, therefore, with less wind, I don't need to have as much of a drag. But if the wind's high, I can tighten it down, and it'll slow me down even more.
Yes. The same principle as a parachute, except we're dealing with water instead of air, right? You know.
It's all drag. It's just the amount of drag that the drift sock puts on the water.
Exactly. Well, the deep water bite, we pretty well described that. You'll have your back rods are way out there. I don't know how far, but way out. You've got those baits are probably, I don't know. How far would you estimate, Larry?
I guess at least 100 foot.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Maybe possibly a little more, you know?
Right, or maybe a little more. I mean, what I've had luck on is the further out the line and the rod, the bigger fish you catch.
You said that, and that's when that 20-pounder grabbed the bait Friday, too.
Yep.
And then you'll have some rods on the transom of the boat way out there. And then you stagger them. You know, you bring some in closer and some mid-range rods. So, in essence, you've got baits from pretty close to the boat out to past 100 feet, maybe 150 feet, way out there. And that creates a scent trail with all the cut bait that's down in the water. And the catfish, you know, a lot of times we would have them tap, tap, tap. Even some of the bigger catfish we caught, they would not commit and grab it. Sometimes they would tap on it for 5 or 10 minutes, and I know we were bound to have covered 100 yards or more, and then they'll decide to grab it. So they've got to be following some of that scent, don't you think?
Right, and that's what's so important about fresh bait. The fresher the bait and the more scent it has to it, the better off you are, because catfish bite by smell. That's what they go by, smell. They don't go by sight or anything else. It's that scent.
They trail like a pack of trailing dogs, actually. They really do. So they're trailing it along, and then when they decide to hit, they nail it pretty hard. And Larry, when the fish picks the bait up, with the type hooks you use, you can, when you grab that rod out of the holder, if you feel any pressure, you can go ahead and set the hook with your hooks. Some people use just, strictly circle hooks, and on that, you don't want to jerk back, do you?
Right. There's your circle hook, there's your true circle hook, and then you have an offset circle hook. A true circle hook, you do not want to set the hook. All you want to do is just reel down on the fish. You don't want to try to jerk it out of its mouth or anything like that. Now, I grew up bass fishing, so I grew up setting the hook, and that to me is one of the best parts about fishing. So I use an offset, and all that is where instead of the hook being in a straight line with the base of the hook or the shank of the hook point is offset to the side of it. And that allows you to be able to set the hook also. And like I say, that's one of the best parts to me about fishing, so I'm not going to go with a true circle.
Yeah, well, we're kindred spirits there, Larry, because I'm an old bass fisherman. I've plastic worms. It's probably been my mainstay forever. When I feel that fish tap, 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 I want to get in rhythm with him and sink with him if I can. And then when I feel that last tug that where he commits himself, I want to rear back and set the hook. So I like those hooks that you use. And then basically when you, like some of the big ones we caught, you know, you've got your drag set right where if instead of breaking the line, they'll pull drag. And basically, you just hold on. I mean, you start trying to horse one of those big ones, it's not going to happen, you know. I imagine a lot of them are lost that way, but people trying to jerk too hard after they're already hooked. Just let them wear themselves down and let the rod and the drag do the work, you know.
Exactly. What I do, I don't know how many pounds of strength I have my drag set at. What I want to do is I want to be able to grab the line by the reel and pull it out with a little bit of tension, but not too much tension. I'm going to guess around 5 to 6 pounds.
Yes, sir. That sounds about right. Well, let's shift gears now. Since I fished with you, you've been catching them in more shallow water. That usually happens, that shallow water bite, Larry. You let me know if you agree with this, but it usually occurs after a warming period in the winter, when the water in the shallows warm and the bait fish are in there, right?
Right. The fish have no clue what month it is. Mm-hmm. All they know is how hot it is outside.
Right. Uh-huh.
And with this nice spring weather we've been having, it's got the fish and the bait up shallow. They think it's springtime, and therefore they're moving up in the shallow water getting ready for the spring pattern.
Now, and then that's where we had started on our shallow water techniques just earlier in the show. But that's where you anchor. And are you a lot of times fishing up toward a wind-blown bank, a windy bank, or is that a key factor sometimes?
It can be a key factor, especially if the wind's really blowing.
Mm-hmm.
A wind-blown point, a shallow point where the waves are splashing into that point, that's one of my favorite spots. If I see a good point like that, I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it at least 30 minutes and see if the fish are there.
And that's something else I noticed fishing with you, Larry, and it's a trait that every good fisherman I've ever fished with in my life, it's a trait that all of you guys have. If the pattern was really good yesterday on a certain program and you give it 30, 45 minutes and it's not good today, it's important to go ahead and change, isn't it? I mean, what worked yesterday won't necessarily work today.
Right. When I was out with you every other trip in the past 2 months, I had been drifting deep water. And when I was out with you, we started out in deep water, and we gave it about 30, 45 minutes, and we didn't have a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I backed up. It's been warm weather, so I tried a shallow point, and hey, we caught them.
That's where we picked up on the big ones and then the good eaters, too. Well, a lot of fishing is experimentation, but, you know, today, with today's sonar and the GPS built in, it makes going back to spots that have been hot spots in the past and then reading the waters when you get there, it makes it, it helps stack the odds in your favor, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Like right now out in deep water, the water's about 55 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up in one of these shallow coves, it's about 65 degrees. That's a 10-degree difference in the water in the same lake.
And I'm sure the shad are going to sense that, too. The bait, the fish that the catfish eat, live on, they're going to be moving shallow. So that's a key. I noticed a lot of the deep water stuff we were fishing, there was always big pods of shad right there with the fish mixed in. So where goes the bait, so goes the catfish, right?
Right, but if you have the better electronics, when you see the shad down there, just because you see shad doesn't mean there's fish feeding on them.
Mm-hmm.
What, instead of a ball of shad, you want to see a busted up shad.
Mm-hmm.
The ball of shad means those shad are in a tight little group, and they're sitting there secure. What you want to see if you're fishing is those shad spread out down there, because that means fish are down there eating on them.
They're running around
trying to get away.
You bet. Larry, we are almost out of time. Folks, our guest is guide Larry Thomas. If you want to go catch some big catfish, he's one of the best I've fished with. Larry, would you give your website and then a phone number, please, sir?
Okay, it's tewakoniguide.com, and you can call me anytime at 940-229-0288.
Folks, we are out of time for today's show. Today's show and all of our shows are made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, and you can go online there to biggame.org and learn all about the Dallas Safari Club, and also made possible by Brute Outdoors, home of the Brute Box Coolers. The website there to look at these coolers is bruteoutdoors.com. The phone number is toll-free 855-BRUTE-55. Make sure and listen to catfishradio.com if you get a chance. That's our hour-long hunting and fishing show. And do tune in this time next week. We'll have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.